Peace be to you, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how I normally greeted the members in the Mandarin service. But if you think it is too long, you can say, grace and peace be to you, just like Paul when he greeted the Christians in Philippi, in Ephesus, in Thessalonica. But if you think that is also too long, you can just say peace, shalom. When we wish the other person peace, we are wishing him well. Well, not only in his health, in his body, in his mind, and in his spirit. Well, also in his relationship with one another at home, at work, in the church, and so on. Well, also in his relationship with God. So brothers and sisters, peace. And you're supposed to say, peace. Okay, let's try again. Peace. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nowadays you hear a lot about growing the church. And when we talk about growing the church, people have in mind growing in the number of the congregation. But here, we are actually trying to talk about growing the church in terms of growing the members in their spiritual life and in the maturity towards one another and towards God. And today we are going to look at Titus. Paul and Titus arrived Crete. It was not mentioned in any of Paul's missionary journey in the book of Acts. Probably it took place after Paul's release from his house arrest in Rome. And Paul and Titus preached the gospel and founded the church in Crete. For some reason, Paul had to leave Crete and left Titus behind. As he says in his letter, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed. Paul wanted Titus to do two things. He left him behind to do two things. The first thing is to put in order the unfinished things. And the second is to appoint elders. Firstly, the unfinished things. Paul had not said in his letter what they were, because Titus knew what Paul wanted him to do. Paul knew why Paul left him behind to finish the business. From Paul's ministry as an apostle and the situation of the church, we could guess what those unfinished business were. In his greeting to Titus from the beginning of the letter, Paul says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of the time, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. As an apostle, Paul's ministry is to further the faith of God's elect. I'm reading from the New International Version, but in the ESV, it says, for the sake of the faith of God's elect. For the sake of God's elect. That is, to preach the gospel, so that those whom God has chosen and is calling may come to believe in Jesus Christ. And that had been the ministry of Paul wherever he went, especially to places where they had not heard of the gospel, like Crete. And those who have believed are to have a full knowledge and understanding of the truth. And in the pastoral letters, in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the truth refers to the gospel. The gospel. The full knowledge and understanding of the gospel is not just head knowledge. It is not just the ability to quote from the Bible chapter and verses. Although I think it is very useful to be able to memorize Bible chapters and verses, especially today many people like to use the smartphone or the iPhone to refer to the chapters and verses of the Bible. What if you don't have it with you? If you are able to quote from your memory, how good it will be. The full knowledge and understanding of the truth is not just having read the whole Bible in a year. And we know some churches would like to encourage the Christians to read the whole Bible, maybe in 1 year, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 3 years. This is good because it shows your discipline in your daily devotion. To know and understanding the Bible, the gospel, is not just understanding the theology of Calvin, of Luther, of J.I. Packer. It is very important, actually, if we know the theology of certain people whom we trusted to be biblical. Especially, Reverend Ying Yi talked about the fundamental beliefs of Chinese Christian Church. I know some of you in your Bible study, you like to study books of the Bible. For example, in our Mandarin Bible study, we have been studying the book of Exodus. And this is very good to understand the book of Exodus, what it says. But it is not able to help us to understand, say, for example, the death of Jesus Christ or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You really need to be able to gather from all the relevant verses of the books, chapters, and verses to come to understanding what the Bible says about certain doctrine. When we talk about the knowledge and understanding of the Bible, we are talking about how our understanding, our knowledge of the Bible shows itself in godly behavior. In godly behavior. In other words, when you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, You are supposed to be Christ-like in your words and in your deeds. It is something expected of us by all people, by the Christians in the church, as well as by the non-Christians outside the church. A lot of people left the church because they have been hurt by the behavior, by the words, by the actions done to them. Recently, I was talking to my friends, and she was telling me how so-and-so have not been going to church. I know this person had been hurt in the church, where he given his life, his energy so much in building the church, and yet he was hurt. So he and his wife have left the church and started to wander around to find a church. And eventually, they don't go to church anymore. Why? Because they have been hurt. And they have never healed. They have never healed in the spiritual life. So it is important for us as Christians to be able to live out what we believe. A lot of people don't want to come to church because they say, well, the Christians are not better than me. In fact, I'm even better than them. Have you ever heard of people saying that? So it is important as we understand and believe in the gospel, we live out the gospel in godliness. In the Crete Christian community, there were people who went around disrupting whole community, whole household, by teaching things they ought not to teach. And that for the sake of dishonest gain. And one of the Crete's own prophets has said, Paul says, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. And Paul asked Titus to rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith. To rebuke them sharply so that they'll be sound in the faith, in the doctrine. Why? Because they have not been godly in the living. They've been teaching with gains in mind. What is the teaching that is sound in doctrine? We have some examples in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Here are just some examples. Paul says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrines. And what are the things appropriate to sound doctrines? Paul says, teach the older man to be temperate, worthy of respect. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Older women to teach younger women to love their husbands and children. Encourage the younger men to be self-controlled. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. Did you notice? Paul did not say to Titus, teach these Cretan Christians what it means by believing in God who is Trinity. He didn't mean, what does it mean by the atonement of Christ Jesus in his death? He is referring them mostly how to live your Christian life that is appropriate to the sound doctrine. In other words, what is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is not only what the Bible says, it's also about living out what the Bible says. Furthermore, Paul also wants us to know that believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ will give us the hope of eternal life promised by God before the world began. And God never lies. He has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to Apostle Paul by the command of God, our Savior. And Paul addresses Titus as his true son, sharing the common faith in Titus chapter 1, verse 4. He brought him along to be his partner and fellow worker in the gospel. Titus was a Greek. He was converted to the Christian faith. For Paul to bring him along to places where they never heard of the gospel would be very helpful indeed. Because he was Greek, he would be able to understand the culture of the Greeks. Just like sometimes we say that whoever wants to work in this church, at the moment we are trying to apply, when we are trying to advertise for people to apply for pastoral position in this church, in the English ministry. And one of the criteria is you must be able to understand and work in cross-cultural church, such as CCC. So bringing Titus along to proclaim the gospel, especially in cross-cultural society environment, will be very helpful. And here Paul is telling Titus, you know my ministry. Put in order the unfinished things. Complete the task I left you to do. Preaching to them the gospel. Teaching them to understand the gospel resulting in godly living. Believing in the hope promised by God in the gospel. These are the unfinished things that Titus is supposed to do. That is the first thing. The second thing is the appointing of elders. Paul asked Titus to do is to appoint elders for the church. And this could also be counted as the unfinished things. Now, what kind of a person should be considered for elders? What kind of a person when we think of asking a person to be an elder? In Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, Paul outlined the qualities we are looking for in a person when we consider appointing elders. They are broadly speaking two categories. One category has to do with one's character and behavior. The other character has to do with one's belief. In terms of character and behavior, in Titus chapter 1 verse 6, Paul says, as elder, he must be blameless. He is to be an example, not only in the Christian community, but also in the community at large. When a leader has been found to have committed some serious sins or even crimes, like embezzlement, domestic violence, he has to resign. If an elder committed serious sins and got found out, it would affect not only his personal reputation, but the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. It is important to make sure the elder is blameless. Is blameless. I was preaching in CPC, Chinese Presbyterian Church, and after the service, one of the elders stood up and said, all the leaders, including the elders, were to gather together because we are going to say something, communicate something which is very important, and that is sexual harassment in the church. To warn all the leaders, be careful not to commit sexual harassment. If you have been, stop now before you get found out. And then they also say to the members, if you have encountered or if you have experienced sexual harassment committed by anyone in the church, please let the church elder know. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself, because it is a very serious thing. Not only it affects the person, but it also affects the name of the church. That is why it is important for the elder to be blameless. It is also important for all leaders of the church to be blameless. Apostle Paul goes on to say, an elder is to be faithful to his wife. It is another way of saying you should not commit adultery. And Paul goes on to say, he should be a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Now, why should the faith and behavior of the children be a consideration? Well, Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, the responsibility of an elder is to be an overseer of the church. He is God's steward, a manager of God's household. He is to make sure that the church runs well. Things to be done by others are done rightly. And Paul says also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, that an overseer must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? If an elder's children do not listen to him, would other children listen to him when he tells them, you know, you need to obey your parents, you know, you need to submit to your parents, you need to honor your father and mother? Do you think the other children will listen? Your own children couldn't even listen to you. And when the elder teaches parents to discipline their children, would they listen to you? You can even discipline your own children. So, if an elder is not able to manage his household well, be able to bring up the children in the knowledge and the truth of the gospel, believing in Christ Jesus, live out in godliness, the elder will not be able to set a good example for others to follow. I always tell my wife, we are very thankful to God because he has been gracious to us. My wife said, no, he has been very merciful to us. Why? Because all our three children are still remain in their faith. Not only they remain in the faith, their spouse are also Christians. Not only they are Christians, they also serve the Lord in the church. It is not our doing. It is only by the grace of God, because we know there are many, many godly Christians, and the children, for some reason, rebel against the Lord. For some reason, they are not coming to the church anymore. For some reasons, they proclaim to be atheists. It's not because of the parents' fault. It's because of the children nowadays who have the freedom to do whatever they like. So we need to continually pray for our children, whether they remain in the faith or not, more so, especially if they are out of the faith. Pray that God may be gracious to them and bring them back one day. Paul goes on to say, an elder must not be overbearing or arrogant. He must not be quick-tempered or lack of patience. He must not be given to drunkenness. He must not be violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, or greedy with money. Talking about overbearing or arrogant, we were having a Bible study last night, and we talked about the hardness of the heart of Pharaoh, not willing to let the Israelites leave Egypt to go and worship the Lord. You know that story, don't you? And the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart because he thought highly of himself, because he was arrogant. Dear brothers and sisters, have you ever thought why you are so stubborn? Could it be because of your pride? Because of your pride. And during the Bible study, they started to argue with each other. The husband would say, you, the wife. And then the wife would say, you, the husband. You know, when we study the Bible or listen to the sermon, we always hear for the other one, not for ourselves. I'm very thankful in the end, one of them said, no, Pastor Chris Choi is saying, we have to look at ourselves first. We have to look at ourselves first. Are we being arrogant? Have we been proud? And that we are not able to take a step back. Take a step back. Have we been able to learn how to be humble at home? That is the first place we learn to be humble and not to be proud, not to be arrogant and not to be overbearing. Paul continues to say in verse 8 and following, rather, the elder must be hospitable, enjoy having guests in his home, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, or in another version, who is sensible, or in another version, who lives wisely, who lives wisely. Upright or righteous or just, holy and diligent. So these are the characters and behaviors we should be looking for when we consider someone to be an elder. Next we come to talk about the beliefs. The beliefs. In verse 9 he says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as he has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. This is very important because there were people in the church in Crete who taught things they ought not to have taught in chapter 1, verse 10. There were the so-called circumcised group who insisted that Gentile Christians ought to be circumcised. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, addressing this issue of circumcision, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. Faith in Christ Jesus expressed through love. Just like what he says, the truth expressed in godly living. There were members in the church giving a lot of attention to Jewish myths and human commands in verse 14. They probably told believers to abstain from certain things. We came across such false teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain food. By such practice, they hope to be pure in the eyes of God. And Paul refutes them by saying in verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In other words, Paul is saying that to the morally pure, all things are ritually pure or clean. You can eat all things. You do not consider them clean or unclean. Paul says in Titus chapter 1, verse 11, these people, those people who pay so much attention to Jewish faith, Jewish myth, or the human commands, these people must be silenced because they are disrupting the whole household by teaching things that ought not to teach. Now, an overseer's responsibility is to hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. The way to do it is by giving instruction in sound doctrines. The qualities should be found in our elders. We want these also to be found in our members. We want them to be sound in doctrine and godly as well. We are all expected to live out our lives in godliness when we become a Christian. There is a cult from China and has been spreading even outside of China, to countries like America, Europe, and now even in Australia. The cult used to be called the Lightning from the East. The Lightning from the East. Those who understand Mandarin, Dongfang Shangdian, the Lightning from the East. It believes that Christ has returned. We all know that Jesus is going to come again. They believe that Christ has returned. And she's a lady. And she was in China. Okay? The cult has now changed the name to the Sovereign Lord, Quan Neng Shen. And the members would befriend first the Christians and visit the church to entice them. And we have encountered some of them several times in our Mandarin congregation. Just as well, some of our members able to identify them because he's well taught in the scripture and came to us, the leaders and the pastors, and we're able to identify them and to invite them to leave our church. So it is very important for the elders, and not only the elders, to be sound in the doctrine. Finally, brothers and sisters, do you notice when Paul talks about what we should look for in an elder, he does not mention any gift. He does not say, okay, now the elders must have such a gift. He does not say you need to have the gift of leadership. He doesn't say that you must have the gift of teaching. He doesn't say that. He only talk about the character and the behavior. He only talk about be grounded in the fundamental doctrine, knowing your faith. He didn't say about the gift. I wonder why. Then I realize, well, if I don't have the gift to do certain thing, I can always invite somebody else who has the gift. For example, in our elders, in the board of elders, we have Sammy, who is the treasurer. And he's a very good treasurer. And then some people say, what if Sammy is no more an elder? Where are we going to find an elder who is gifted in running the finances of the church? Well, you can always find somebody outside the church. Do we have anybody here who is a good treasurer? Anyone? No? We are not going to ask you to be an elder, don't worry. But we can see why Paul does not look for somebody with certain gift. What is important is your own character. Important is your behavior. And what is important is that you are able to know the fundamental belief of the church so that you can supervise the church and making sure the church is running well as it ought to be. So brothers and sisters, how do we grow a church? How do we grow a church? To grow a church is not just worry about the number. To grow a church is how to make sure that the person come to believe in Christ Jesus. Not only come to believe in Christ Jesus, but also know and understand and have knowledge of the gospel and able to live out the gospel in godliness. How do we grow a church? To grow a church is to make sure elders, leaders, first and foremost, must have all those characteristics as outlined by Paul. Good in characters as well as in behavior, and good in your understanding of the fundamental beliefs. This is how we will be able to grow a church. So may the Lord God help us to examine ourselves. We call ourselves Christians. Have we been able to live out? Have we been able to live out what we understand and know about the gospel? Are we able to set an example to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, so that if they do not believe in Christ Jesus, they will one day be brought to faith in Christ Jesus? Have we been able to make sure that we being an example to those people who come to our church? Let them see that we are really hospitable. We enjoy having guests in our church and as well in our homes. Ask yourself, ask God to help you. Pray that God may give you the right character, behavior, and the right understanding of the gospel. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we call ourselves Christians, and rightly so, because we put our faith in Christ Jesus. We know that we have been saved because of Christ Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. We call ourselves Christians because we also know how we should behave like a Christian. But Heavenly Father, we know that sometimes, because of the weakness of heart, because of the temptation, especially outside in the world, in the workplace. Sometimes we fall into the temptation. Sometimes we give in to things that we shouldn't be doing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to repent and to come back to you. And we pray that you'll be able to give us the strength, that you'll give us the Holy Spirit to renew us constantly, that we are able to really live out a life of a Christian so that people can see Christ in us. Let us not just love oneself, care for oneself, but also love one another, care for one another, that we encourage each other to grow in our faith in Christ Jesus as well as in our godly living. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' precious name. Amen.